were.
So then, word and aim. Today I'd like to read from the book of Colossians, a rather lengthy passage. I make no apologies for reading a lengthy passage from God's Word, but I do trust that you will be able to give it your careful and prayerful attention. Reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. And you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And from verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Praise God for the truth of what we have just read from Colossians chapter 1. And we praise God today that as we speak to you, we preach Christ, a person, not a doctrine. We present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, the living man in the glory, the exalted, glorified Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. We present to you, we preach to you, we proclaim to you, friend, we would love to introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer. Our God and Father, in that precious name of our Lord Jesus, and through his precious shed blood, we come to you today, Heavenly Father, thankful for all we have in Christ, thankful for what's offered in Christ to those who are out of Christ today, if they will only turn believingly, trustingly, in repentant faith to the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory, your Son, our Savior. Bless every listener, Father, whatever their needs are, for we give you thanks now and ask it all in his worthy name alone. Amen. During previous radio broadcasts, we have been talking to you first about the Word of God, how it is the infallible Word of God, how the infallible Word of God is sovereign. Upon the Scriptures, God has bestowed his sovereign authority, even as the psalmist observed in 138 and 2, for thou hast magnified the Word above all thy name. Friend of mine, the Word of God is backed up by the name and person of God Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ testified concerning the truth, the validity of the Word of God. He said in John 17, thy word is truth. He said from John chapter 6, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He exhorted the believers of his day, search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. And the early church did just that. We read concerning them that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Friend of mine, as we tell you concerning the truth of Colossians 1, I would exhort you to search the Scriptures, go into the Word of God, and find these things for yourself. The Bible, of course, is our standard of authority, and from it we base everything else that we believe. In other broadcasts following our consideration of the Word of God, we have talked of that very complex subject, the Trinity, how that the Scripture declares, again, being our authority, that there is but one God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And yet to reveal his fullness to us, to help us to understand the magnitude of Almighty God, he declares himself as a Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father gave up his Son, his darling, the only one like him. He allowed him to come to this world. And so God describes himself to be God the Father. God Almighty describes himself to be God the Son. And God himself is described as God the Holy Spirit. So many people argue, well, Christians, you have three gods. No, maybe we don't understand it. But we have one God, God Jehovah, God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because God Almighty is omnipresent and limitless and omniscient and omnipotent, those words simply mean he has the power to be everywhere at once. He knows everything. He has all power. And because God is this, so is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. He's holy. He's just. God is love. Who is love? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Today we want to devote the time that we have on this broadcast to a further consideration of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we read that passage from the book of Colossians, to give you a better insight as to what the infallible sovereign Word of God has to say about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. Study it, friend of mine. Don't take my word or anyone else's, but take God's word, the Bible. And if you want to read further concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, there are many passages, but three in particular. I'd like to encourage you to take down these passages. They're all the first chapters of three books, and study in detail, study in depth, study prayerfully under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, if any man that lack wisdom, let him ask of me, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, I'll give him wisdom. You want to know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus? Ask God, Father, reveal to me the person of your Son. And read John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and Hebrews chapter 1. Now then, imagine, if you would, that the Lord Jesus was looking into your face. He did that to Peter on the seashore one day, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Now, friend, if he were asking you that question this morning, if his voice was coming to you instead of my voice, and he was saying to you, friend, do you love me? What would you say? Suppose he asked a second time, I mean, do you really love me? What would your answer likely be? Well, Lord, you know, I do think quite a bit of you. Lord, I do believe in you. Help my unbelief. Would you have to say like another one, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Or perhaps like Thomas, you could drop to your knees and with a broken heart and tear-stained cheeks, you could say, my Lord and my God. A few thoughts concerning why we ought to love him. Because of who he is. He is the God, please hear me, of eternity past. In Micah chapter 5, we read that he was the one to be born in Bethlehem who has been, hear this now, from of old, from everlasting, or from the days of eternity. This tiny little baby to be born in Bethlehem's manger when prophesied by Micah was the very one who had been from old, who had been from the days of eternity. In other words, he was the one without beginning, and yet he was to take on a new form when under the direction of the Holy Spirit, when born of the Virgin, when conceived of the Holy Ghost, when born at Bethlehem's manger, this child who was born was, according to Isaiah, the son who was given. And Micah says, the one from of old, from everlasting ages past. Praise God! The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we read about moments ago from the book of Colossians, is the God of eternity past. And he, as already mentioned, is the Christ of the Incarnation. Read Matthew 1 and Luke 1 if you want to read about his virgin birth. The angel came to a virgin and told her that holy thing that was about to be born of her was of God. The Holy Spirit came upon her and she produced the Christ child. And friend of mine, it was necessary, it was imperative that he come by way of the virgin birth if he was to bypass the blood poisoning of sin. He did not have a human father. He was born of the virgin after her conception by the Holy Spirit. And because he was born without a sinful nature, no other man ever escaped that. If you go back to Genesis, you find that Adam was created in the likeness of God. But after the fall, when he and Eve produced a son, it was said to be in Adam's likeness. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all. For all have sinned, without exception. Every listener to my voice, the speaker included, we're all sinners by nature, by choice and practice. But the blessed man of Calvary, the Lamb of God, the eternal one from ages past, he was sinless. He did not inherit the Adamic sinful nature. And therefore Peter could say of him in his first epistle, he did no sin, neither was there guile in him. We read in the book of Hebrews that he was tempted like as we are, yet apart from sin. And from 2 Corinthians we read of him, he who knew no sin. Friend of mine, this was the Christ child. This was the Lamb of Calvary's altar. This was the one who was of eternity ages past, the eternal God of heaven and earth. And when he came to this world, he came with a single aim. He came according to Luke 2, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? From Romans 15, even Christ pleased not himself. And as he agonized there in that garden, offering up that bloody sweat, not my will, but thine be done. Prophetically, it was said of him from Isaiah chapter 50, I have set my face like a flint. Friend of mine, do you know this one who came from heaven, sinless, to die on the cross? He lived a life of blessing to others. Those that could stand up and attest to the blessings of the Lord Jesus, their names are legion. There's the sick and the lame, the blind and the deaf. Even the dead could raise their voices in resurrection and proclaim him as the resurrection and the life. Those once demon-possessed could sit at his feet, fully clothed in the right mind. The poor, the hungry, the needy, even the sin-sick. Those like you, those like me, we can say, yes, hallelujah, what a Savior. He came from heaven to this earth, even to go to the cross of shame, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And friend of mine, there's eternal life today by the grace of God through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, I can say today, by the grace of God, I love him who first loved me. And if he asked you that question, do you love me? What would your answer be? Why don't you fall down right now if you don't know him, if you don't love him, and say, Lord Jesus, I'm guilty. I'll trust you. I want to be your child. Save me for Christ's sake. He'll do it. Christian, tell him you love him. He'd love to hear it. Amen.